Welcome to another episode of Bruggetijd, the Dutch Drag Race podcast about everything drag and drag race. On today's episode, you'll find amazing interviews that we did at DragCon UK 2023 in London. In today's interviews, you'll hear Gothy Kendall talk about what it is like being a content creator in 2023, not only in drag, but also in OnlyFans, what that does to you personally, but also as a content creator that just has to keep going, what inspires her in drag, and how her confidence has built since competing on Drag Race UK. You'll hear from, I can say gay icon, Daniel Francesi, who you might know as Damien from Mean Girls, but he's also been on Celebrity Drag Race. He's done a lot of comedy stand-up and a lot of acting. He tells us a little bit about what it was like being on Celebrity Drag Race, including a bit of behind-the-scenes tea and what his coming plans are for this year. And then I'll check in with a familiar face of mine. I'll check in with Cheddar Gorgeous, who was on the most recent season of Drag Race UK. We'll dive a little bit deeper into what it has been like since the show has aired, what it has been like not compromising her vision of drag on the show, and what her plans are for the future, and whether she'll be back in Amsterdam very, very soon. Three amazing interviews, and there's much more to come tomorrow. Don't you worry. Tomorrow we'll be speaking with three of the winners of Drag Race UK. Now, if you love this podcast, go ahead and support our sponsor. Go to MrJock.com to find crazy underwear, fun party outfits, your favorite fans, and a tea mug to sip some tea in while you listen to these interviews, because they were the reason we were able to go to DragCon UK. So we are really, really thankful for them. So go ahead and give them a visit. On behalf of me, GJ, David, Frank, and Marco, thank you so, so much for listening and supporting these podcasts. If you'd love to share them on your social media or on Reddit or on Facebook groups that you're in, please do, because then we can give these queens an even bigger platform. And that is why we make this podcast. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Enjoy these interviews. We are now joined by the effervescent Gothy Kendall.
Hello. How are you? How's your weekend been?
It's been exhausting. Yes. What's it been like for you?
Very much the same. But it's been the best weekend ever. Obviously, we've not done this since 2020. So to meet everyone again and be able to do this is just amazing. So it's fabulous. Fabulous.
Did you ever expect it when you started drag that it would become something like this, meeting fans, being, you know, appreciated for your art and stuff like that?
I don't know. I mean, I think Drag Race has blew up within the past like 5 years. And when I started drag, it just didn't seem like it was ever going to, you know, come across the pond to the UK or even to the rest of Europe. So the fact that it's like this now is absolutely amazing. And I'm grateful every day. It's absolutely fantastic.
What's it been like meeting all the fans?
Wild. It's been wild, but it's been lovely. I mean, like I said, like we've not been able to do it for so long because of COVID. So to meet them all again, it's just so nice, you know, have a little moment with everyone. And
what has the response been of the fans?
I mean, it's been overwhelmingly positive. They've said that I'm crap at dancing. They've said, no, I'm joking. They've all been lovely. To be fair, do you know what? Because it's so long ago now, I think people don't really remember me for like the stupid shit anymore. They just like come over because they like the drag that I do now rather than what I did 4 years ago. So that's fantastic, and I really appreciate that.
I love that. And what has it been like creating boots and stuff like that? Because you get to do more than just your own look. Yes. You get to create an aesthetic again.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like we all get the same little space to create our own little fantasy. And I think that's the most exciting part. You know, getting to see, like, everyone gets the same 3 meter box. Do you know what I mean? And everyone has such a different interpretation of what to do with it. And that is the most exciting thing. Like walking around on Friday and looking at everyone's booths, it was just amazing to see what people had done. You know, everyone is so different. Like everyone's booths are completely different. And that's the thing about drag, isn't it? Like everyone has a completely different take on it. So it's fantastic to just walk around and see everyone's creativity.
Of course, your drag sisters and stuff are here as well. Did you get to like think about together? Like, what are you doing? Did that help you?
So we sort of like, we never really tell each other what we're doing because we're so close. People already say that we look alike because, you know, we have a similar style and all that. So we never really say what we're doing because we want to surprise each other and want to, like, we don't want to influence each other until it's been done. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, have you found like a new confidence in your performance the past few years after Drag Race? Like, how would you describe your journey in that?
I would say that obviously I had the worst possible thing happen on Drag Race, which is obviously go home first and not really get to showcase what I can do. So once you've already experienced what the worst possible thing can happen is, everything is up from there. Like, your confidence just is just built, because that isn't a reflection of what you are. It's just in that moment, and everything from there will be better. So you just feel confident that everything that you're putting out is way better than anything you've ever done.
It's the worst, because they remember the first out queens more than the second, maybe.
That's so true, actually. Yeah, pour something wrong. First out, I mean, it is iconic. I can't lie. But I don't know. Always having to, like, prove yourself, like, that you aren't actually just a loser. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't feel like that. I feel like a winner. So I feel amazing.
And I've been wondering, you're a career creator on all types of platforms. You only have your OnlyFans and stuff like that as well. What is it like constantly having to create and to be busy with that kind of stuff? Because it you have to keep going. There's you have to self-sustain yourself in that sense.
Yeah, you've got to have a lot of self-motivation. And like you said, like, just creating content all the time for various platforms. Like, sometimes it could be hard to like split it between the two, you know, sort of like have a healthy relationship with drag and a healthy relationship with, you know, OnlyFans and other things that I do. So finding that balance is difficult, but I think I manage it quite well. It's just staying motivated and creative and just always staying on top of what other people are doing as well, and just making sure that you're doing something a little bit different.
Is it hard for people to separate the different stuff that you do? Is it like that you still want to get some validation as a drag queen, and the other way around, you're like...
Yeah, because sometimes you get people follow you on Twitter and they obviously follow you because they like your OnlyFans, and you get some people follow you because they like your drag. And I think making content that both of them will appreciate is quite difficult sometimes. Sometimes, you know, like, I'll get a lot of likes on an OnlyFans post and then won't get many likes on, like, a drag post. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I've, like, fucked this up because, you know, they don't really care about my drag. But then they do, because that's where I built everything from. Do you know what I mean? So, I feel great about it also.
And I have a lot of friends who are also OnlyFans creators, and they always talk about how hard it is sometimes in real life to set boundaries as well, because obviously you create adult content and then there's a certain expectation of an interaction or a freedom of expression when they meet you in real life. Yeah. That must be really hard, especially as a young person.
It is, especially because I've sort of started it myself. It's kind of hard to separate, like, your own sex life and then the OnlyFans stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe it. Sometimes, like, you'll be like having sex and then you'll be like, oh, this an angle like here would be good, but then you're like, no, why am I thinking about that now? I'm having, like, a really intimate interaction with someone that I care about. That's why, you know, I'm with them now. It's not this isn't my job now. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes having that separation is difficult, but
so I can imagine in the interactions with people feel that because you put adult content out there, they can say things to you.
Definitely. Do you know what, it's always the first thing people bring up in conversation, how's your OnlyFans going or something like that. And I don't know if it's like a dig almost, you know, like, people are like, oh, you do OnlyFans, but I don't care. I'm making good money. What are you doing?
Do you still feel like a drag queen first and then on second, or do you think most people, like, I talked about the separation, is that...
Well, I think I would be able to live without the OnlyFans. I wouldn't be able to live without drag. I'm always a drag queen first. I mean, it just helps with so much, my creativity, like, how I feel about my gender and stuff. You know, some days I feel really feminine and I want to get into drag and I want to feel amazing. Other days I don't want to get into drag, you know, and sometimes I really don't want to be a feminine person. I want to be how I feel in that moment. But I'm always a drag queen first.
What inspires you in 2023?
Ooh, that's good. I don't know. I think it's difficult to be inspired at the moment because drag is so, it's everywhere.
Just as a person.
What inspires me?
Maybe walking around here that you see some queens that you haven't met before and they're like, oh, you do.
That's true.
Really cool stuff or something.
Yeah. I don't know what inspires me at the moment. I think, I was going to say, like, it's quite overwhelming drag-wise because just drag everywhere, and it's hard to, like, just not copy it, but, like, try and come up with your own ideas. Do you know what I mean? So it's hard to be inspired at the moment. I feel like a lot of people now aren't creative. They're like curators. They sort of take aspects of everything and don't really create anything new. And I think it's really difficult to do that now. So I'm not actually sure what inspires me at the moment. You know, you just see something and you'll be like, oh yeah.
And then final question, what can we expect from Gothi in 2023? Do you have anything exciting coming up, projects, maybe, you know, certain photo shoots or things that you're working on?
What have I got planned? Hopefully another song coming out at the end of the year, fingers crossed.
How do you find producers for that? Because there's so many great talent also here in London. How do you find producers that work for your aesthetic and that you can also work with creatively well?
It's difficult. I like to work with people that I actually know rather than just over Instagram, like message, oh, hey, I want this. I'd rather have that interaction and really work with them and really develop a concept and an idea. So luckily, I had this amazing producer that also worked at the club that I worked at when I started drag. Always kept in contact. And then I was like, they are the perfect person to, you know, produce with me because we have a good rapport anyway. So yeah, that's how, just with, you know, interactions and meeting people and just knowing that they're the right person to work with.
Well, I can't wait to see what you get up to. We love you, and come to Amsterdam.
I would love to. I was there in 2019. I was there at a rave and then had Vivian's wedding the next day, and I was absolutely dead. So thank you, Amsterdam. It was
that
amazing.
That, yeah.
Listen, if you need a good rave when you come back, everything's been opening up again.
DJing at Nick's, at the club there you
were. Yeah. You DJ as well. You have to come to Nick's at JJ's party as well.
I would love to. Yeah, I've done it before. That's where I was doing it, and then Viv's wedding the next day. But Amsterdam was absolutely amazing. I was gutted that I didn't get to have a wander around and really get to know the city. So fingers crossed I'll be back soon, because it's not far, is it?
Come back.
I would love to. Train. And you're also friendly, yeah. So I would love to. Thank you.
Well, then we'll see you there.
Yes, fabulous. See you there. Thank you.
So we're now joined by, I can say, gay icon.
Yeah, I'll accept it.
Daniel Franzese.
That's right. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very good. What has this drag con been like for you?
Iconic. I actually love it. I've been to every single drag con. I haven't missed one yet. This is my family, and I love everybody here.
Yeah, and of course, you are part of the World of Wonder family, part of the Drag Race family.
I'm a celebrity. Yes.
What has that been like to see that empire grow to what it is and put out so much queer content?
Well, even before I did Mean Girls, I was in Party Monster, and I've been working with them for years, and it's incredible to see the growth of all of the people that work there and all of their content. I mean, it really is a world of wonder now for them, and I'm so proud of all of them.
And of course, we know you from Mean Girls, but you've done so much since. What has it been like, you know, carving out your own career over the last, say, 15 years?
You know, I always say Mean Girls because it's become so iconic and such a staple of, like, American and world pop culture that it's kind of like I'm the Tin Man and Wizard of Oz. Like, I've just got to accept it. Like, yeah. It's, like, part of it. So it'll be a pillar in my career all the time. But I've been very fortunate that the fans let me, like, come see me do stand-up, and I get to do a bunch of other things in my life and other movies. And I was able to be Donna Bellissima on Celebrity Drag Race this season. And, you know, it's really fun. It just brings nothing but joy to my life, and I feel like I'm a purveyor of joy.
What was Celebrity Drag Race like? Did you have any preconceived notions that were shattered as soon as you did it?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like they said it was going to be like an actual season of Drag Race, so I thought we were going to sewing challenge and innovation challenge. I thought we were going to do comedy and roasts, and I wrote all these jokes, and it was just Dancing with the Drags, and my feet fucking hurt. So that's what I'll say. Like, you know, the thing, the behind the scenes tea is that I'm a size 18 women's, and they only had 16s. Because they, you know, it had to have been custom, and plus the shortage with like the pandemic. So I was, you know, clapping around up there against Glee people and a Backstreet Boy and some pop stars with like two sizes too small shoes. So I'm a little proud of myself that I was a lovely fifth alternate.
You were a star. You made top 10. You're fine. You're good.
Yeah, right. Top five. Top five.
Top five.
Yeah, there was only 9 cast members, so yeah. We were all top 10.
<That's> fine.
This is what I've learned from the Dutch queens. I've learned to always go like, I was in the top 10. I mean, I was 10th, but yeah.
Yeah, no. You know, I hung in there until we did the big group number. So I think I would have been a little upset if I didn't make it that far. But I at least made it to like the pre-finale or whatever. So.
Of course, we've just started the year. What's coming up for you this year?
Oh, I have so much. I'm doing stand-up. I've been touring with my new play, Italian Mom Loves You, where I play my mom in drag. That's been really fun. And lots of other stuff, like little surprises and things that are going to pop up on your TV and movie screens this year, and we'll see.
Are you coming to Europe with a stand-up tour? Can we see you in Amsterdam?
Yes, I'm actually, I will be out there. Oh, I don't know about Amsterdam yet, but I will be touring the UK a lot, and so you never know. I'll be there. If anyone wants to hire me for a Pride, you know.
We work for Pride Amsterdam. We'll put in a...
Please, get in them DMs. I love, you know, my LGBTQIA family, and I will travel anywhere for them. So.
And our Pride is on boats.
Oh, well, see that? I'm on a boat, bitch.
Let's go.
I'm proud to be on a boat.
We're gonna start pitching this. We come back on Monday. Right. We're going to go like, we need to get Daniel on the boat.
I'm ready. Let's do it, you know? Yeah. But please ask for Daniel, because Donna only makes 1/3 of what Daniel makes. So.
I love it. Daniel, have so much fun.
Thank you so much. God bless you all. Check out my podcast, Yas Chainsaws, or follow me at What's Up Danny.
And I am now joined by the visionary, Cheddar Gorgeous.
The visionary. What do you see in this vision that you speak of, my darling?
No, but I mean, I see a vision of mushroom neon today, but when I see you, and we've worked together in the past before, you always have so many amazing creative visions. And it must be so rewarding that on the show and now here that people appreciate that and value it.
So when I went into Drag Race, I never imagined that they would be interested particularly in what I did. And I was absolutely overwhelmed with how much space it was given on the show. Because, you know, I mean, I will accept, I don't mind being funny and I don't mind being entertaining, but sometimes some of the stuff that I do, it's a little bit in depth and cerebral and a little bit serious. And so I just didn't imagine that they would allow that to flourish truly in the way that I thought that it really did on the show. So I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude to the show for that.
Yeah, because what has it been like since the show for you, the last couple of weeks?
It's been more than a few weeks now.
No, but it's aired and since the
world. Yeah, I mean, it's wonderful. It's like another go at drag. It's like a new re-enlivening. And I think drag and arts careers in general and arts lives, you know, the career is the right term to even use for it. But when you do art, and when you are an entertainer, and when you're a creative person, you have these moments of like re-flourishing, and it's just a really lovely re-emergence in that cycle for me. I'm enjoying it.
I can imagine. And of course, throughout your runways and stuff that you've done, there were a lot of messaging, a lot of teachings about our history, our queer history, about, you know, stigmas, and about references. You must also feel really proud that, you know, a newer generation that has so much information, you know, at their grasp, they don't always get those teachings with them, so that you've been a part of now passing those on to newer generations.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's really lovely that that happens. But the truth is, unless I find something interesting, I'm not interested in doing it. I don't really see the point of something unless it has a point. And so for me, it's actually about keeping drag interesting and exciting for myself. Yeah. Much more than it is this abstract idea that I might have educated somebody. And particularly with the show, because you don't know really whether people are going to A, care or engage with that, or whether that's even going to be represented. Sure, you can talk about it afterwards till the cows come home on social media. So really, it is about just doing something that means something to you. And obviously for some people, if that's the, you know, that's creating a beautiful, fabulous, feminine aesthetic that's just hilarious, then follow that dream. For me, it's just about having a deeper story, because I do like a deep story.
You do. And of course, your family, Gorgeous, is here, but you now also have this new sisterhood from your season, and it really feels like your season, you all really created that sisterhood together, which we saw reflected in your feed where you posted pictures and did photo shoots with all of them. What has that been like, to have those new sisterhoods as well?
Well, I'm dressed as a giant mushroom right now, and I think that's an absolutely wonderful visual metaphor for the way community can and should work. And I think, you know, those relationships are always, they're always growing, they're always shifting, they're always changing, they grow further apart, they become closer together, and they can become forever interconnected in lots of different and cool and exciting ways. And I think there's no limit to how you may fan out from yourself as a small family, to then thinking about the wider family that you have, and then thinking about how that fits in as part of a community, until eventually we start to think about an entire global mycelial network of beautiful, queer, creative energy that is loving and supportive. Now, don't get me wrong, family doesn't always work like that either, because family can be wrought with conflict. But I think as long as you're connected in ways that become meaningful for you, that's what counts.
And of course, we are now here at DragCon.
The DragCon.
What has this experience been like, meeting fans, doing everything like this?
It is exhausting in the most possibly wonderful way it could be. I have no doubt that I'm going to spend the next week in tears, and absolutely wonderful tears, feeling very, very grateful. So I've met some absolutely wonderful people, and I'll say this about the people who come and meet me. They bring me some real interesting, juicy stuff. You know, I love meeting people. I tried for a very long time when I was younger to be a misanthrope, to be somebody who hated people. And the truth is, I actually just really like them. I know. It's a sad and cynical thing to have to admit to.
True. And of course, we know you in the Netherlands as well for working a lot with Drag Queens United, with Lady Galore on the Lip Dubs and The Weekends Away and Milkshake. Will we see you back in some capacity with some of those things this year, maybe, or later?
Well, my dear darling friend Lady Galore, she just doesn't get in touch enough. She doesn't get me over there. I think that you need to petition her to make something happen in the Netherlands. I actually haven't worked in the Netherlands since pre-pandemic. So I am dying to get back over there. But we'll see. We've got the Australian tour coming up and then the UK tour. So who knows? Maybe summer 2023. It's going to be the European escapade, darling.
Oh, I love it. And then final question. What is this year going to bring in terms of projects? Is there anything you can tease? Anything you're working on? Anything you're excited about?
I'm writing a book. I said that with such confidence.
I love it.
Because I have to convince myself.
I wouldn't be able to say that, which I'm going, you're writing a book.
It's precarious because I say it with such confidence because it forces me then to actually do it. And I think a lot of people can gel with that, right? You have to actually just go, this is what I'm doing. And then you have to, you know, give the universe actually what you've promised you'll give. But yeah, so I'm working on a book proposal at the moment. So we'll see how that goes, see whether that can all be pushed through. I've actually got a couple of different books that I'd like to work on. I've got a live show that I'm working on as well, a live singing show about a cowboy and a sailor. Because, you know, once again, if it doesn't have a point, what's the point? And then just the touring work I'm going to be doing for Drag Race. So excited. So the Voss tour in April, the Australian tour before that in March. So it's going to be a busy, busy old year.
Cheddar Gorgeous, I am so overjoyed to see the world embrace your vision, your artistry, your thoughts and everything in the way that it has through this platform without compromising you, and the world is at your feet.
Thank you.
So bring them with you.
Tell them to get up. I'd like to meet them.